This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Cincinnati ultramarathon runner Harvey Lewis broke another world record, this time in Bell Buckle, Tennessee. He was the last runner standing after 4 days of nearly nonstop running during the Big Dog's Backyard Ultra that began October 16th. Joining me now to talk about what drives him and how in the heck he does this is Cincinnati Public Schools teacher and ultra marathon runner, Harvey Lewis. Thanks so much for being here, Harvey.
Lucy, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here in studio.
Yeah, I've seen you running all around town, all over the place, and it's good to finally get to meet you and talk to you. Do you have questions for Harvey? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Let's start with the basics. You're an ultra marathoner and a public school teacher. Very important. Explain what an ultra marathoner is.
Yeah, so we are runners who go beyond the marathon distance. An ultra marathon is any distance beyond 26.2 miles. So it can be simple as 50K on up to multi-days or even beyond that.
Wow. And when did you first get involved in this sport and why?
Yeah. So I first discovered this back in the 90s, believe it or not. And there was a 24-hour race that was organized in the Twin Cities. And I was a college student at the time, and I wanted to have some sort of mountain to climb, but there were no mountains in Minnesota. And I, as a college student, I had no funds to take me somewhere with mountains. So I thought, this sounds intriguing. Let's go for this. Run for 24 hours and push your mind, body, and spirit.
And did you, were you successful that very first attempt?
I survived. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I ended up running 81.3 miles. And my goal that race was just to keep myself moving the whole time. So I ran and walked and ran and walked. And I was able to do it without sleeping. And for me at the moment, like the furthest I had run before that was a marathon, 26.2 miles. And it was a absolute like discovery of what we can do. Like I didn't know that people could really do that. So it was exhilarating to experience that. And also there was a lot of camaraderie in the community.
Yeah.
So the other runners were very supportive, and I really got really connected with them fast.
Wow. And I mentioned in October you broke this world record. Explain what a backyard ultra is.
Yeah, so the Backyard Ultra was invented by this character, Laz Lake. You may have heard of him. He actually created this race called the Barkley Marathons, which is the craziest race in the world. But he's an eclectic guy that lives out in the, he would call himself maybe a hillbilly. He's got this giant beard. And he's just quite a genius. He came up with this format where you run 4.167 miles every hour. So the what happens after 24 hours, you cover 100 miles. And you do 11 hours on a trail of 4.167 miles every hour. And then you switch to 13 hours on the road. And you just keep on going back and forth and keep going and going until everyone quits except for one person. When you get the final two runners, the person who is the second to last person out is called the assist. Wherever they give up, the final runner can only do one additional lap beyond that. And it's an intriguing format because it's really, for the average runner, it's pretty easy to run 4.167 miles, but it's easy until it's not. So you just, it builds on itself. It makes it more and more difficult. If you finish your lap, there's different ways you can attack it. If you finish your lap quicker, you have more time where you can rest until you have to get back up in the corral and start again at the like top of the hour. But you want to pace yourself because if you go too fast, you'll expend all your energy and not be able to continue moving.
How long did you run and how many miles over how many hours? I mean, this was like more than 4 days you were running, right?
Yeah, it was a new world record, and this was the world championship. So we actually had 75 runners from 40 different countries, and all the runners who came were champions of their own home country. So it was an incredible field, a battle royale. And no one knew how far it would actually go. The furthest this course had ever had was in 2001. I actually got the record back then of 354 miles. And it's a tough course. So it was very amazing that we are able as a field to push to such high numbers, because we're 22 runners made it to 300 miles, 6 runners made it to 400 miles, and then I was able to go to 450 miles, and it was 4.5 days. It was basically 4.5 days of very little sleep. So like on the fifth day, I would just lay down for a minute, and literally I was able to fall asleep for a minute and get back up and then just keep on moving. So it's amazing how you can push your body. Because back when I did that race in 1996, the 24-hour race, I had to struggle to make it through that night, to make it through at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. And so it's amazing how you can build your endurance, your mental fortitude.
I think there are a lot of people hearing this who would think, why isn't Harvey Lewis in the Olympics? Like, what the heck? I mean, if you can do this, has that ever been a dream of yours?
They don't have an Olympic event that's far enough for me. Yeah.
Too easy. That's the problem with the Olympics.
I am not. It's incredible. Kipchoge, he runs the marathon at like a 4:38 pace. And I mean, my fastest mile is like 30 seconds, almost like 25 seconds slower than his average mile pace in a 26.2 mile race.
I see.
So it's remarkable. But the difference between my event is like comparing the marathon to the 400 meters. It's like there's such a giant like gap. So my strength is really in races where you're running more than 100 miles in really difficult terrain and environments, and also where your mind really has to take over in order to survive, like to really push yourself to further ends.
How can a body do this, Harvey? I mean, you mentioned you only got to sleep for like a minute at times per hour. How do you eat? How do you use the bathroom? Like, how do you just do this for 4.5 days?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I would never dream this sort of thing was possible when I first started. And you really have to consume a lot of calories, and you have to consistently be drinking electrolyte drinks. So in that race, I don't even drink like plain water. I only drink drinks that have calories in them. I drink like Tailwind, but I also like have coconut water and sodas like Coca-Cola. And then I eat food every single lap. Every hour, I'm eating some snack of something. And I eat all plant-based foods. It helps me to digest everything much more efficiently. I don't have any stomach issues. A lot of the runners struggle with that. So I think I actually may have out-eaten everybody in this race too. But it's kind of amazing. You really want to pace yourself. And you sleep would be a great idea, but for me, it just didn't work out. I didn't get sleep, and I somehow managed to like still survive off such little sleep. Because the first 3 days, I didn't sleep at all. I just like, I'd finish my lap with like 52 minutes. I'd have 8 minutes to spare. I'd lay down for 5 minutes, and I'd just lay there with my eyes shut. Now, you do get some benefit from that, but it's remarkable as humans that we can do that sort of thing and keep on moving.
Yeah. Well, and I guess if you've got 8 minutes, that includes a bathroom stop.
Absolutely. No, we had porta potty set up right there at the start corral. And so, yeah, it could just run in there real fast, no problem.
Yeah. Wow. What does your body feel like after you've done this? Does everything just hurt? How do you take care of your knees and your hips and your feet and all those parts you need to keep running?
Absolutely. So, again, the plant-based foods really helped. I don't eat any meat or any dairy, and there's less inflammation. So, like, my top competitor, Ihor, who was 20 years younger than me, his feet swelled two sizes, and he had to borrow a 14.5 pair of shoe from a European. He's a Canadian runner. Ihor is an amazing runner. But I had no inflammation in my feet, which is remarkable across that duration. But when I get back, when I finish, I actually, the next morning, I put like ice on my knees. I didn't have any issues. I also go to see, I call him Mr. Miyagi. He does active release therapy. So it's like a kind of a sports massage type effect. And it really helps to see him. I see him like usually like a few times a month in the build up. And then I'm seeing him like this afternoon after work. So it's amazing. I've been doing this now for 27 years. And I'm actually now at a amount higher than I was when I was in my 30s or my 20s, which is astounding that it's possible to do that.
Yeah.
I have no issues, like no aches or pains. But it's very important, like your form, like what your running form is like. It's really important to listen to your body and to start small. It's like investing. You know, you want to invest in little bits every day, as small amounts, and it just compounds itself.
Wow. What long-term effects is this having on your body? What do you think this will mean to you as you get older? Do you think you'll live forever, or are you just going to need like new knees in 5 years?
That's a great question. I really care about my health. So that's one of the things I really talk about with my students and as well as people I meet everywhere. I have a friend who's 101.7.
Wow.
He's Mike Fremont. And he lives here in Cincinnati. He is one of my greatest role models. I love him. And believe it or not, at 101.7, he is still doing pull-ups. He can do more pull-ups than I can. He's still getting out, doing his runs. We did the 5K, the Flying Pig 5K. So it is possible to continue to do these things into your like 80s and 90s. I have another friend, Ed Rousseau, who I met in that first ultra. He's 85 and he's training to do a 100-mile race. So it sounds, impossible, but I'm not suggesting people should go from like 0 to 100 like overnight. But there's possibility within us to do incredible things. Physically, mentally, and you can. Oftentimes we put these artificial limits on ourselves about what is possible. I mean, I had no idea. Like growing up, I was normally in the back of the track group. I never scored for the team. My first marathon, I ran in 5 hours and 7 minutes. It actually took me like 17 years for qualifying for the Boston Marathon. So it's just, I hope that my story can inspire people just to like take investment in their personal health. You know, a daily walk is phenomenal. Even if you're getting out there, that's amazing. 20, 30 minutes, do something active. It's gonna have dramatic impacts on you mentally as well as physically.
Well, and I imagine there might be people out there hearing you thinking, I am maybe in my 30s, in my 40s. I might want to get started, not doing 100 miles overnight. But how can you determine that running form? Like, are there experts you can go see? Because when I started trying to run, everything hurt, and I thought, I'm doing it wrong. I'm just going to stick to my walking and stick with that. So how do you figure out what form really is best for your body?
That's a great question. You know, usually the first couple weeks of whatever you're adjusting yourself to, you're going to feel like some discomfort. But it shouldn't be like in your knees or your hips or your back. Like those are areas you want to protect. So there are like, we have like the Flying Pig Marathon and all the races associated with that. And there are other races around the community as well. And there are also some really phenomenal like running stores. So we have like Tri-State Running Company. We have Fleet Feet. These stores are a great place to start where they can help you get the right type of shoe for you and like help to fit you. But you can also go on to like YouTube and look at like running form and like learn by just looking at yourself. Okay. And you don't want to overstride. I wear Newtons. They're really amazing shoes for helping to be more efficient and also to help to impact your form, to promote positive form, the way that the shoes are designed. Mm. But also, it's like the Mr. Miyagi effect. It's amazing because a lot of people don't realize that there's something like that out there with like physical therapists or sports massage, active release therapy. Like these professionals can really help you to ensure you shouldn't feel any type of pain in like a joint. There's a difference between fatigue, discomfort, and like some sort of pain. You shouldn't be running through some pain in the joint.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Well, I want to remind our listeners, I'm talking with Cincinnati ultra marathon runner Harvey Lewis about how he does what he does. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. We did get an email even before the show started. This is from Paul, and Paul writes, I just returned from hiking the Snowman Trek in Bhutan. Wikipedia describes it as one of the hardest trekking trails due to hard weather, duration, and altitude in the world, and most of the trekkers do not complete the route. He said, in my opinion, it certainly lived up to its billing. Bhutan holds an ultramarathon race along this trail, and I'm wondering if your guest, Harvey Lewis, has it in his sights. Yeah, I see you moving your head. I can't tell if that's like a, ooh, that's my dream thing or like never.
Oh, no. Paul, thank you for sharing that question with us. Honestly, Bhutan is on my list of like the top five countries I would love to visit. I mean, it's a fascinating, magical place, and I haven't been there yet. Honestly, I'm limited sometimes because my teaching schedule of what races I can get to.
Got a day job.
Yeah, so I would love to go to that race, but that would be probably one of the first things I'd have to look at is if it falls within the summer months. And then outside of that, I'm like, you know, I'm so lucky that I'm able to take time without pay, but it's kind of tough to get away sometimes.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm sure your students miss you.
I miss my government class and in financial literacy class as well.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
Well, you were talking about just the mental toughness that it takes to compete in races like the ones you run. What does it take mentally? How do you prepare your mind to know I'm going to be running nonstop for as long as it takes to be the last person standing?
Yeah, so it is really like you callousing your mind. You're like building your endurance. And I'll take us to like, we have another local runner who competed in Big's Backyard World Championship, and that's Jennifer Russo. She lives in New Richmond, and she is 57 years young, and she is an absolute outlier. Like, I mean, she is doing stuff that is unprecedented because this last summer, she hit 300 miles was the assist in a backyard ultra. And physically, she's very strong, but it's her mental fortitude that's really impressive. She's a person that stays in there when it gets tough, and she works through those low points and finds a way, even when she's pushed up against the ropes and she's only making her loops by a single minute or two, she's finding a way to continue on by finding the why, but also, you know, thinking deeply into like what's like the motivation and what was driving her. So, you know, it's impressive. Like, that's what inspires me really so much about running and also ultra marathoning is just seeing like people pushing through these barriers.
Yeah. Well, we do have a caller on the line. Hey, Peter, thanks for calling. What's your question?
Good afternoon, Lucy. My question has to do with how you control your brain during this monotonous, arduous activities that you go on.
Yeah.
I find it really challenging and difficult to do.
Yeah. Are you an ultramarathoner, Peter?
Only in my dreams.
Well, that's better than I'm doing. So thanks for that question. What do you think, Harvey?
Hey, Peter, thanks so much for the question. You know, it's really, for me, I'm always engaged on what I'm thinking of, like, strategically. So I'm always evaluating the other runners in the field. Like, they may not be aware of it, but I am totally doing that the whole time. And I'm also, like, getting caught up in the nature. So, like, that's another major element of this is the nature, being outdoors. So, for example, at nighttime, it was amazing to hear like the coyotes howling and also seeing that we were there with a waxing moon. So like we were there with like each night the moon would get larger and larger. And I just took a lot of solace in like seeing the natural features because so often I'm inside the classroom or inside my home. And so like the opportunity to be outdoors is like something that just gets me just puts me somewhere special.
Great question, Peter. Thanks for calling. Is it important to live in the moment? I mean, because I can see my, like, even when I'm going for a walk, I'm thinking, what do I have to do this weekend? What's on my grocery list? What's, like, my brain can go all different directions. Do you need to really focus on being in the moment?
Yeah, it's like yoga. So you really want to, if you get yourself into a position where you start thinking beyond that singular lap that you're on, it's almost inevitable you're going to bow out, because you really, it starts becoming overwhelming. Like, I mean, you get to like hour number 44 and you're like, I am really tired right now. I cannot imagine I'm actually going to be running for more than two times this right now. So you cannot think like that. You have to think in terms of just a single lap that you're on in the moment.
Well, just very quickly, because we're running out of time, how does this all translate for you in the classroom? What kind of message can you deliver to your students after doing all this amazing stuff?
Yeah, my number one message is just to dream big, to go after it, to have a really strong work ethic. And that where you are now is just like a sequoia seed, and you got so much in front of you.
Wow. That's great. I've been talking with Cincinnati Public Schools teacher and ultramarathon runner, Harvey Lewis. Thank you so much for your time today, Harvey.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I loved it.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. If you miss our program live, you can subscribe to Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.